The question was asked, do we have sources that explain why the giants ended? So there are two approaches to the whole story of giants. We'll choose one for now. We have a flood. And in the flood, a lot of things happen. What exactly happens? So the psukim, the verses in Eov, in the book of Job, actually describe how the flood happened. But you have to know what the psukim are talking about, because the psukim are talking about stars shifting. So you read the Torah. Torah tells you, Hashem said there's going to be a flood. And then there was, after a warning, they had a warning period of 120 years, and then the flood came. You read another book of Tanakh called Eov, which maybe Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, and you have a description of stars shifting and causing the flood. Do the two contradict? The Talmud says no. How did God make the flood? He made the stars shift, which goes back to a concept which we learned in many early commentaries. We learned it in Rambam, in Maimonides. We learned it in Ramban, in Nachmanides, that miracles happen through nature. Hashem doesn't say, zap, all the forces of nature will disappear and now a miracle will happen. Hashem says, I'll shift the forces of nature so that this plays itself out this way. So when Maimonides, when Rambam was questioned that the astronomers had a natural interpretation for the splitting of the sea, Rambam said, first he writes a whole piece explaining why they miscalculated their astronomy, and he gives them a lesson in astronomy and tells them they're wrong in their and how they claim the stars were positioned on the day of the splitting of the sea. And then he says, but even if you were right, it wouldn't bother me, because the miracle is about the fact that it split when the Jewish people went in, and it came crashing back down when the Egyptians came in. And if the way that happened was by having two meteors or comets or stars positioned in a certain way, that the magnetic pull would cause the sea to split at this second and come crashing down at that second, that doesn't bother me, says the Rambam. The miraculous nature of it was the timing. It's not about whether it happened in contradiction to the laws of nature. And on the contrary, Rambam is of the opinion that almost every miracle happens within the forces of nature. It's about the timing. It's not about what happened. That's Rambam's position in his commentary on the Mishnah in Tractate Avos, where the Mishnah discusses the things that were created at twilight of creation. So 10 things were created then. Rambam says those are the 10 exceptions to nature. Every other miracle runs within nature. And so too we have Ralbag, an early commentary, a Rishon, who wrote a whole book called Milchamot Hashem, where he explains every miracle within nature. That's the Ralbag's approach. Most commentaries did not agree with them. But coming back to here, working with that approach, so we have the flood. And one interpretation of the flood is what we see in Eov and in the Talmud, that things shifted in the stars and caused a massive flood and eruption from under the earth. And that was the Mabul. But remember, Noah got warning and had an ark and had animals, etc. inside. So that's one thing we see. Another thing is written in the Sephorno and in the Malbim, two commentaries. And they both explain that, and I don't think the Malbim saw the Sephorno's commentary, to the best of my knowledge. They both say that when the verse describes after the flood, that from here on in, man will not rest in the summer, winter, fall, and spring. The stress of that pasuk is not the beginning, that man will not rest, he will have to work, but rather, from now on there will be seasons. And they interpret that verse, that the stress of the verse is the fall and spring and summer and winter. That until that point, earth had not shifted on its axis. What happened at the flood was that earth tilted. And at that point, other than the equator, you start having seasons. When you go to the equator, so everything is all the time, all year long, it's spring, right? But the shift of the axis makes it that we have seasons. And so they interpret that verse to mean that with the flood came a shift in earth's orbit, that earth now tilts on its axis. Furthermore, we have commentaries that state that after the flood, earth became less healthy to man. The atmosphere changed, the air changed, and here you have two approaches. Some of you will like one, and some of you will like the other. I'll begin with the one that I assume most of you will like. After the flood, Noah is told he may eat meat. So some commentaries say that was to compensate for the fact that earth would become much less healthy. Living on earth would be less healthy, and that's why after the flood, people's lives were shortened. People started living much shorter lives, and so they were allowed to eat meat. Others say the exact opposite. Part of what caused people's lives to be shortened was that they started eating meat. So you have two approaches as to how to understand that.
Wait, what does this have to do with the giants?
Oh, so earth, from the time of the flood, was in a steady decline. Right, the vegetarians will like the second shot, and the omnivores will like the first shot. So from the time of the flood onward, we see a steady decline in the health of humanity and in the lifespan. And some want to say that that's why the giants died out after the flood, because the giants were a reflection of the health that was still remnants of the flood. And as time went on, just as people's lives diminished, so too did the size of the people. That's one interpretation. Aside from that, the verse seems to say that they were just killed out. Meaning in the war that Avraham Avinu goes to, the four kings against the five kings have the giants on their side, and they lose. That's why the first shot is better. I would just like to point out that the giants, according to some commentaries, were six-footers. Mm-hmm. He was a giant. I'm saying that's how Rambam learns. The Medrash says Og Melech HaBashan had a necklace of the clouds. But going back to our class from 2 hours ago, the question is, do we take that literally? Or were Chazal using an exaggerated term?
Moshe was 15 hours tall.
No, we don't.
And he only reached the ankle of.
Again, is that to be taken literally? I don't think Rambam, going with what we learned last class, takes that literally.
It goes hand in hand, though. If his head was.
I don't think he had a cloud necklace, first of all, because clouds aren't solid. Huh. Second of all, we have not found giant human bones.
Wait?
Yes, they have.
They do.
No way, really?
They haven't found any evidence of Purim either.
Of what?
Purim.
Purim?
That Josephus already writes that the Persian historians they were intent on rewriting history. That's already recorded, I'm saying, 300 years after the story. Josephus writes that. In Josephus's work against Apion, one of the things he writes is about how the Persian historians would rewrite history. So that's not I'm not sure that's something we have to worry about.
So they found giant bones and talk about
that's what they said, I don't know.
Even the Romans rewrote.
Right. The Egyptians, the Romans.
But when you said,
I don't know. Okay.
I don't want to contradict you, but when you said, when you said maybe the earth didn't start moving till the seasons was mentioned.
I didn't say moving. I said tilting on its axis. I didn't say rotating. I said tilting. I didn't say earth didn't rotate. The rotation is what makes it day and night.
I don't know enough about it, but it would seem that any other way it wouldn't work.
So why don't you find out more?
We should.
Okay.